Have you got this sunshine? Another beautiful day on the edge of spring in southeast New South Wales. Thanks for tuning in. I've just turned Bonnie Raitt down so that we can talk. She'll be straight back on again when we finish. Hello, my name's Ian Campbell, and this is About Regional, a new place for the stories of southeast New South Wales. Gabrielle Powell is one of those familiar faces you see around Bega, but she's just had an experience that's taken her way beyond her Peden Street base. For almost 11 years, Gabrielle has been the manager of the town's Women's Resource Centre. With long service leave in her sails, Gabrielle took off for Malawi in Southeast Africa, a country of 18 million people that's bordered by Zambia, Tanzania and Mozambique. Now, there are no banana lounges or pina coladas with this getaway. Gabrielle was there for 2 months as a mentor to an artist's cooperative. A basket maker herself, Gabrielle had to put her art on the back seat. It was her management, admin and leadership skills that were put to work. I got talking to Gabrielle about this experience of a lifetime just a few days after she returned.
My kind of holiday is a challenge for me and something that will, you know, get me thinking, get me sort of interacting with different community groups and sort of learning from them. So, yes, I chose to go to Malawi and do a 2 month internship in management with an artist organisation.
Now, I'm looking at that picture of Africa in my mind and Malawi. Where does Malawi sit? Where is Malawi? Forgive my ignorance.
It's a landlocked country. It's quite a small country. It's got Mozambique and Tanzania, Ethiopia up the top. It's about 2 hours by plane north of, sort of northeast of Johannesburg, sort of about the same latitude as Madagascar, but in a landlocked area, yep.
And you were there on an internship. Who were you working for?
It was People of the Sun, which is a social enterprise supporting artisans to remain in their village and make an income out of their work.
What sort of stuff were they doing?
So there were the Malawi chairs. Tianjani is a chair-making group. They had Warm Hearts, which were the box makers. So that's like widows and orphans sort of make boxes to actually suit their wood-carved animals. And then there was the wood-carved animal group, which was called Bangwe. And then there were the basket group, which was the Mango Club.
Is there something here in the southeast that it's comparable to, that sort of setup?
I don't think so, but, you know, the cooperative, you know, the Spiral Gallery cooperative, like all of those artists coming together as a group, you know, strengthens the artists themselves and also makes the potential to sell more work just because you've got that platform. As a sole artist, you're just a single person, but once you join a group, you've got a bit more impact, you can produce more work, you can, you know, have diversity in your products, you can get more people to buy art, hopefully. And everybody in the group's promoting it, so that's good.
Yours was a management intern. Did you get to do any art? Did you get to do any basket weaving?
No. I did take my needles, and, yeah, that was the plan when I left Australia, was to actually make some baskets. But the basket makers were so amazing, you know, and the language was a bit of an issue over there. You had to have an interpreter when you went to the village. I just felt like, you know, the baskets that I make just didn't have any, like, comparison to the ones that they were making. And I did show them my baskets and they were sort of like going, right, okay, plastics and wires and things. And, yeah, they did ask me how much did I get for one of my baskets, which was a lot more than what they were getting for their baskets. But it was just, I just felt like, no, that's not my time to make baskets. Once I was there, my job was to actually look at the quality checks that they were doing on their work and to work out why they had lots of stock, lots of artists, lots of orders, and there was kind of a delay of getting the orders out. So while I was there, there was like 6 or 7 orders. It had been like 4 months since they'd actually received the order to getting the orders out. So it was like pulling apart the whole sort of organisation and what was going on that was stopping.
Those processes.
Yeah, procedures and, you know, what was stopping them from getting those orders out. And then we were getting feedback about things being broken, things being scratched, you know, how were they packing these beautiful things that look fantastic. And then we were getting these photos of these crappy things at the other end. So, like, how to overcome that so that they could just make money instead of they were sort of losing money, you know. So
so you're there for a couple of months. Do you feel like you had an impact? You left your mark?
I think so, yeah. They all keep contacting me. I don't know if you've ever used WhatsApp, but WhatsApp's very important in Malawi. And, yes, I've had the manager onto me. I've had the box makers trying to see whether there's an avenue for empty boxes in Australia. there's an ongoing dialogue and mentoring, I guess, to continue to help them. You know, 2 months wasn't really long enough. They did want me to go for 3 months. I was like, whoa, that's like way too long.
Yeah.
2 months, and even that's a long time. But once you're there, it just went really quickly. And, yeah, I just agreed, you know, that they could keep emailing me and WhatsApping me and would try and keep working through the issues.
Now, no plush motel room for you to go back to. You were really living in the community, weren't you? Tell us about that.
I was living at Kabula Lodge. And so Kabula Lodge it was sort of like a youth hostel, I guess. I was the oldest intern ever invented. There were a lot of young people there. They were like doctors doing their masters, nurses doing, you know, midwifery. There was like water filter project. There was like fashion project. There was sort of all nations there, Canada, America, England, Croatia. It was just like amazing group of people there, all trying to do what their specialty thing was. A lot of medical students, so it was just like, you know, just do what they're doing and join in with them. There was two of us that came early, a doctor and myself, and he set up like a Kabula residence WhatsApp group, because everybody has WhatsApp groups for everything.
Yeah.
So we actually formed this little family at Kabula Lodge, and when I left, the manager actually gave me a bangle and said there's never been such a group at Kabula Lodge. So that was very touching, and, you know, it's like, oh. And she said, you know, she'd never seen a group form such a strong, you know, connection as we did. So I feel a bit sad because we've all now departed. David's gone back to the UK. I'm here in Australia. A couple of the girls that I was really friendly with actually left and got a little apartment because, yeah, we're all, like, going our separate ways. So our little families are like all over the world now, you know, Canada, UK. So, yeah, we're all keeping in contact on Facebook. But, yeah, it was a pretty special group there.
I think Africa is one of those continents that people have some preconceived ideas about. Did you have any preconceived ideas going into it? Is Malawi, you know, that sort of impoverished, dusty, sad sort of country that we think of when we think of Africa? What sort of a country is it?
Yes, I did. Well, I sort of did the Skype call to Maria, the owner, and Daniel, my partner, was in the background when I hung up. I said, did that really happen? Like, did I just talk to that lady? And he said, yes, you're going to Malawi. And I was like, oh, okay, I wonder what Malawi's like. So I started talking to a few people. There was only a couple of people in the valley that actually were very positive about Africa.
In this valley?
Yes. So that was good to find them, because everybody else was like, gee, you're brave.
Yeah, right.
God, you're brave. My mother was very, she traumatised me, because she was like, you're going to get raped, murders, you're going to get Ebola, you know, you're going to get all these problems. So I was like, really, Mum, you're giving me an anxiety attack. But when I got there, it was really friendly. It is dusty, it's very poor, very crazy, you know, sort of traffic and lots and lots of people around. So, yeah, But just the colour and the laughter, like adults laugh a lot, which was something I like noticed, you know, quite early on. We're quite serious here in you know, in our world. But over there they were having hysterical laughter and like crazy, you know, you didn't really hear much from the kids, like you never heard crying kids, apart from the ones that saw me as a white woman in the village and just like screamed their heads off. I was like, I've never had that effect on babies.
Who is this person?
Who is this white woman? And she's sort of smiling at me, looking sadistic. Like, yeah, so I did that to about five or six little children. And they just screamed and screamed and screamed. And I never heard any children cry before me.
So here we are sitting in a Bega coffee shop. You've been back a week or two now, I think.
No. 2-3 days.
Right, even less. See, is your head spinning? Have you had a chance to process that and you know, what that experience might mean for your life here, what you bring back?
I'm just still sort of landing and, you know, sitting in the park, waiting for you to come, looking around, thinking, wow, it's so different. It's just so different. Yeah, so a little bit of shock going on with my reality. But I feel like, you know, it was sort of helpful to me because, you know, I've been so long at the resource centre, like, you know, is this my only skill set? Mm-hmm. Is this, you know, my future? I think it's just, you know, reassured me that I do have, like, another skill set, you know, that I can transfer my skills to anywhere, you know, I choose. It was just an amazing thing. It's like a gift from the Resource Centre to me to go to Malawi and be paid to do that work with those people. Yeah. And, you know, I'm already thinking maybe I'll go back in 2018 and do, like, a women's expedition thing. The heartstrings are still attached to Malawi and, you know, I just hope that that business, you know, can get over its obstacles and start doing some really serious sales.
I'm sure sort of art and culture is one of the drivers for the group, but is it also about resilience and sustainability and building a local economy for the artists and their families?
Yeah, I think so, because you know, every person is trying to get a sale out of you. You know, I had strawberry guy who travelled from Zomba, which was like an hour and a half, and caught me out the front of work saying, you know, please buy my strawberries. You can buy a bucket for like 7,000 kwacha. It's like, what am I going to do with a bucket of strawberries? It's like, take them to all your friends, share them. Anyway, so I bought half a bucket of strawberries and somehow he worked out where I worked. So then, you know, 3 days later, he's there with another bucket of strawberries. And he's like, I've travelled all the way from Zomba again, an hour and a half, to bring you strawberries. Mm-hmm. You know, you just think those artists, they don't have to travel anywhere. They have their... So the people of the Sun for the chair makers, they pay half the rent on a building or two-thirds of the rent on a building. So they've got a storage space, they've got a meeting space in their village. They just can do it at home. They carry the chair to the storage space. Yep. They drop it off. They get a deposit paid, you know, when the order comes. And then when they deliver, they get the balance of the payment. So it means that they're just there. They can just have their village life. And such a beautiful life it is.
Yeah. And they get to stay in their community, as you say. I think in a lot of those countries, people feel a pressure to move to the city looking for work, looking for money, but these people are able to stay with community.
Yes, yep. And I think that that's a really important thing, because the ones that we saw in Blantyre, you know, kids on the street at 9 o'clock at night, you know, knocking on your window of your cab, like asking for money. Yep. Mama, you know, I'm starving. And I did meet Habiba, who works for UN for Women, while I was there, and she was saying, you know, children trafficking is like a really big thing, and, you know, the parents are sort of pushing them out there and saying, you just get out there. So these kids, you know, 7 or 8 year olds are out at night in the city, in the dark, and you just think, you know, that's making them really vulnerable. But she was saying, don't give them money. You know, you're better off giving them food because their parents or whoever it is putting them up to go and get that money. They may still not get any food. So if you see them, give them food. And when I went out to Zomba for the homestay, we stopped at the ShopRite and this little kid came to the window, Mama, Mama, I'm so hungry. And I had a Kabula banana in my bag from breakfast. So I was like, here, have a banana. And his face just lit up.
Wow. Yeah.
And he was so happy. And I was like, wow, did you see the impact of that banana? You know, and what's a banana worth? 20 cents, you know, 200 kwacha. Anyway, and we went on the homestay. And when we came back a couple of days later, we stopped at ShopRite again. And he came to me, banana lady. I was like, oh my God, it's you. You know, it's like scrounging around. Oh, I haven't got a banana. I'll buy some apples. And then I turned around and there was like 10 kids there waiting for apples, and I'd only just bought four, and they were like, she's only bought four, you know, and then the fight's on to get the apples.
Are these artists, are these craftsmen getting a fair return for their work? I think you mentioned they get packed up and shift off to places like New York in the Western world. Are they getting a fair return for their work?
Well, not like by our standards, but by their standards, you know, 2,000 kwacha a day, $4 a day is a really good income in Malawi. And so the baskets, I think they were about 13,000 kwacha, which is like 26 bucks. So if they can make one of those in 2 days, that's 13,000 kwacha a day. You know, so that's a good income. Whether they can do that every day is another thing. And there had been drought there last year and going into this year. So there was a bit of issue with food because they grow maize and they grow enough for themselves for the whole family for a year. And then if they get extra, then they can sell that off to make a bit of money. So when I did the homestay, the lady said, you know, usually she gets 10 bags extra. She only got 2 bags extra, so it just means that they're running like low because they probably need a bag to plant, you know, so they're just not really getting that extra, you know, because they are like farmers traditionally, so they're not really getting that extra income. So to have you know, Westerners wanting their products and supporting their work by buying those products, I think it's, you know, just that bit more in income.
Gabrielle Powell, settling back into Bega Valley life after 2 months in Malawi, working with People of the Sun, a social enterprise that allows artists to remain in their village making a living. You'll find links to their 2016 catalogue in the show notes. The trip has also forced a change for Gabrielle. Soon after recording that interview, unbeknown to me, Gabrielle applied for a new job and got it. After 11 years as manager at the Bega Women's Resource Centre, Gabrielle has just been appointed as the Arts Health Officer with Southeast Arts, a new position funded by donations from the community. And as chair of Southeast Arts, I can say it's a really exciting project. Watch this space. Thanks for listening in, whether you're busy getting a job done or just relaxing. And thank you to the About Regional members that make this possible, investing in local stories. People like Julie Rutherford Real Estate at Bermagui, the Bega Valley Regional Learning Centre at Marimbula, Deborah Dixon, Robin Amair and Patrick Rubinson. You'll find more info on membership in the show notes. And for more stories from Southeast New South Wales, head to the About Regional website or Facebook page, where you'll find all my contact details, your story ideas and feedback, always really welcome. This is About Regional, a new place for the stories of Southeast New South Wales. My name's Ian Campbell. See you out and about. Take care.